story I said over before. I once heard this in person. I was working in Kirov with the Russians while they were still in Russia back in the 90s, and he was overseeing the program. So overseeing the program, so he would bring young men from Russia here to America to yeshivas. So he was there in Russia meeting with some of the boys that already had been reached the stage where they're ready to come to yeshiva. He's trying to figure out what the right yeshiva is for them, so he wants to hear a little bit about their story. So he says to one of the young men, he says, tell me, why did you become frum? Obviously everybody started out there not frum. They chose to become frum. We wonder why. So one young man says an answer, which he says, when he heard the answer, he wasn't sure what it meant. So the answer the young man said was, you know, that it's very cold out there, it's very warm in here. That was the answer that he gave. So he wasn't sure what that meant, and he didn't elaborate. Shortly afterwards, he was talking with somebody else, and he asked him, why'd you become frum? And he said, because before I could do whatever I want, and now I can't. Before I could do whatever I want, and now I can't. He says, when he heard that answer, he understood the first one as well. So why is it that is an explanation that before I can do whatever I want and now I can't explains why it's warm in here and cold out there? So he said, if you can do whatever you want, that means whatever you do is unimportant. A person who's a pilot of a plane has responsibilities. What he does is significant. So he can't do whatever he wants. He can't get drunk. Can't do whatever. He has to act a certain way because that's his responsibility. A fellow who can do whatever he wants means he has no role to play. He has no purpose, so he can do whatever he wants. Living in a world that has no purpose and he has no role to play is very cold. Living in a world where whatever you do is valuable, is significant, and if you can't do whatever you want, is much warmer. Reb Tzadok says a fascinating thing. Reb Tzadok in Tzikas HaTzadok says that Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayev Amunah in ourselves. To believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayev to believe in ourselves. They say in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say that God doesn't make junk. If He made you, He knew what He was doing. See, He made you. He made you the way you come. He made you with all your chesaronus, with all of your problems, all of your taivas, all of your insecurities. He made you exactly the way He wanted to make you. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows exactly what He's doing. And He believes in you, even though you look like exactly the way you look. So you have to believe in yourself also. Because if you don't believe in yourself, what you're saying is that he didn't get it right. I saw this piece from Reb Tzadok. It goes back at least 35 years. And I said it over. I spoke in Tel Zeshiva in the dining room, the pre Yom Kippur Suda. So instead of the Rebbeim, there was no Rebbeim there, so one of the older Rachman spoke. So I said over this piece from Reb Tzadok. So we're going to come in Yom Kippur, we're going to make this list of all the things that we did wrong. And we're going to be misvada and all of our chesaronus. If we take it seriously, it can be quite depressing. I really messed up over the years. I really blew it. I got this wrong. I got that wrong. I really want to change, and it's not really happening. I said the same thing last year. I said the same thing the year before. I remember once I was talking with my Rishiva Chaim Stein, Zichu Livracha, and he made a comment about that he's working on this certain issue for the last 50 plus years. It was very depressing to hear that he's working on the same problem for the last 50 years. I cannot say that same phrase, but I could say I've worked on certain things for the last 40 years, and it's very depressing to work on the same things year after year. Until you recognize that that's not the point. The Russian made us a certain way, we're not going to change. I'm not going to become Pliny or Almoyni. I'm going to be me. And I have to embrace my chesroness because those are my strengths. Every person's weaknesses are their strengths. How can I use my strengths / chesroness in a positive way? Is that's my challenge of life. But to think that the Rosh Hashanah could, if the Rosh Hashanah would have only made me a bigger masnik, if the Rosh Hashanah only made me that I don't have such a, I talk too much. The Rosh Hashanah should have made me that, you know, I'm a little more, I think before I act. If the Rosh Hashanah only made me, it'd be so much easier in my life. It would be so much easier in my life, theoretically. But that's not true. Because then you wouldn't be you. The Rosh Hashanah put you in this, in that set of parents, this set, this temperament. And these are your challenges. So the Bali Musar, you know, they go and they say, listen, you know, so listen, these are your chesaronis, these are your challenges, and you have to overcome them. So the whole purpose of Bechira is just to fix all the problems. And I think what Ibsadok is saying, that's not correct. What he's saying is that, Adarabah, you have to find a way to recognize how those things can be positive attributes, and positive elements. I have a story which I've said over multiple times. I know two brothers. One of them is, you can nickname him in glue if you want. You know, you put him on a base medrash. He sits by his seat for 12 hours straight. He shuckles, he learns, you know, doesn't move. He's great, you know, like, wow. Every Rebbe's dream. The Baruch Hashem, in his infinite wisdom, made his brother like the exact opposite. The fellow was a jumping bean, you know, was kicked out of multiple yeshivas. Like, you know, what now was always the next phrase. And I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, like their brothers. Their father was a Tshenes HaMachachem. Their grandfather was one of the Gedolei Ador. And like one of them sort of like fit into the mold. Another one just like totally, you know, you wonder, was he adopted or something? I mean, it's like, how does he fit in? We move forward now, years later, and that gentleman is a Tshenes HaMachachem himself. But he's a person who's made frum hundreds of people. Made hundreds of people for him. He loves a challenge. He loves the challenge. He deals with people. He's aggressive. He's assertive. He loves it. That all of his energy and all of his fight and all of his things, which when he was in high school, he was busy fighting with the guy in the park and getting kicked out of yeshiva for that, he's turned into a tremendous asset, which his brother is still saying, matters going like this. Which is fine. Right? Each person has their strengths. Now our system, the high school, the educational system fits better with the boys that go like this. It doesn't really have an outlet for the guys who are fighting with the guy in the park. It just, it's not, you know, say, well, he's doing well in yeshiva, like, you know, he just got a fight today. Like, how are we supposed to, what's the report card? Like, how do you send it home? Like, you know, he did well in his test today. Like, you know, his test was, did he beat the guy up quickly or slowly? This doesn't fit into the system. But it doesn't mean there's something wrong with it. I was in Lancaster this summer for 2 days. Fascinating. I roll into town over there and I meet this person that I don't know him personally, but my brother-in-law knows him. You know, she says, you know, there's a yeshiva opening here tomorrow. I said, well, I'm going to be for the first day of the yeshiva. I said, really, the yeshiva opening there? Like, what's going on, etc. Turned out the yeshiva is being opened by an old chaver of mine. The purpose of the yeshiva is to create a place where you can learn very stark and geschmack, and you can play very stark and very geschmack, shall we say. And so it's like way out of off the beaten path. I once heard from a very, very intelligent educator. He says, you know, he really would like to open up his school for a high school for boys in Hawaii, for boys who have no parents. So nobody's telling him how he's supposed to deal with the kids. And there's no competition of how you're supposed to do it, because the closest other yeshiva is like 5,000 miles away. Right? Then you can make the yeshiva exactly what you want to make for the boys. So that's what he did over there. I guess Lancaster is almost Hawaii. Close enough. Definitely not where you expect it. I guess there's a lot of guys walking around with beards, but not exactly the right religion. So we come to Yom Kippur and we say our vidui. Maybe the biggest vidui that we need to say is, do we believe in ourselves? Do we accept the way we're made? Do we accept our chesaronos? Do we understand that those are strengths and the Bereshit made us a certain way, and we should never compare ourselves and define ourselves by anybody else? I should not look over my shoulder at how the other person is doing. Rebbe writes that one of the challenges we have in the world of yeshivas is the meaning of kina. Kina is literally rekav atzamas kina, that there's a withering of my being. I feel that I'm not significant because I measure myself against all the people around me. So sitting in yeshiva, that happens constantly. So that one person next to you is a bigger masmid. One person is a bigger lamdan. One person is a bigger, he has a better zikaron. One person is a bit better davener. Everybody's better than you in some way or other. So when you live at home, so a Jewish mother's role in the world, when she does it right, is to recognize that her son is the greatest gift to mankind. You know, so he comes, and you go home every night to your mother, and your mother says, "Ah, the greatest gift to mankind. My kind is the greatest gift to mankind." So you recognize that you're talking something valuable. The problem is in yeshiva, you don't have the mother to go home to. You go back to the dorm, and you see the same guys. You're constantly measuring yourself against everybody else. So where do I fit in? That's a mistake. But at Rosh Hashanah, we stand. Each person stands. And the Mishnah stresses that each person stands on a Kadosh Baruch Hu by himself. Each person comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, and he's measured against himself. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that why the Baruch Hu create Adam Yechidi, to tell us that each person is Chayiv Lomar Bishuli Nivra Ha'olam. Bishuli Nivra Ha'olam means the following. Rabbi Chil Michal Tukhachinsky, I mentioned this point before, wrote a sefer about when there was a Birchas Hachama in 1953. So he wrote a sefer to go through the halacha concept behind it, the astronomy behind it, etc. And in the introduction to the sefer, he wrote some machshava about astronomy, about the Bria, etc. So a little bit of historical background: that was the time that they were building at that point in time, the world's largest telescope. Actually, it's still the world's largest telescope, but now they have telescopes going to space, so they get to see a lot more. So it was the Hale Observatory was being built on Mount Palomar. And the scientists believed that when they're going to build this telescope, they're going to unlock the secrets of the universe. So Rabbi Chil Michal is responding to that thought process, that we're going to unlock the secrets of the universe by building this telescope. She says, imagine there's this gigantic ball, the size of this room, the size of this building, gigantic ball. And on that ball, there's a speck of dust. So the size of that speck of dust compared to the ball is like, it's one to millions. On a speck of dust, there's millions and millions of molecules. There's a molecule. A molecule is built up of many, many atoms. There's an atom. Inside the atom, there's an electron. And on that electron, there's this little being saying, "I'm going to lock the secrets of this ball." There's a universe. There's a galaxy. There's a solar system. There's Earth. There's North America. There's California. There's Mount Palomar. There's a little building on top. There's a little guy inside saying, "I'm going to lock the secrets of the universe." That's how small we are. When we think about the vastness of the Bria, that's how small we are. We are so small, it's mind-boggling. And we are so weak. Rabbi Aaron one time said to me, he says, Tainus wasn't functioning well, didn't have his coffee. So he says, one of his chaverim one time said, he says, look how weak mankind is. He says, 80 cc's of coffee I didn't have this morning, ois mensch. We are defined by a cup of coffee this big. That's it. That's how weak mankind is. The Brashim is saying, Bishul and Ivarelim, he's saying, if the world was created and it lasted for the thousands of years that it's going to last, not just Earth, but the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, trillions of light years, If all that was created, that one person should walk the face of the earth for 70 years, 80 years, and that one person is you, it was worth it to make the whole bria. That's what Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam means. The more we understand the vastness of the creation, the more we understand how puny we are and how ridiculously small we are. If it says as only all minute compared to the bria in time and in space, the more we realize how great we are. Because we have to be very great to be worth it to create something which is trillions of light years long, just for me. So the smaller we are, the bigger we are. And that one guy who was created was me, with all of my taivis, and all of my gaiva, and all of my self-doubt, and all of my chesrodness, and every single problem that I have, the person says, worth to create the whole universe. That you should walk the face of the earth for 70 years. They always ask this question, something that the modern, there's all these books written about self-esteem. This, my friend, is called self-esteem. This is the Torah version of self-esteem. You are so valuable, there's nothing valuable like you. Now, it's challenging. It's challenging because we don't have, that's the purpose of the Jewish mother, to convince us that we are taka, the purpose of the whole universe, right? But our Jewish mothers aren't always working as well as we like them to. And we need to do it ourselves. Now that sounds gaivadik, that sounds like, you know, you're focusing. Actually, it's very not gaivadik. A person who has that recognition, and he really believes it, doesn't need to reinforce it, because he knows it. See, nobody knows his life, he focuses it on other people. But the person who doesn't have that, we can't deny that we want that. We want to know that we're special. We want to know that we're valuable. We need to know that we're special. We need to know that we're valuable. We want to be some unique in some way. So I spend my whole life trying to prove it to myself and to the world. So my focus is on me. You know, the guy goes to the chasna and he's thinking about, basically thinking about, you know, I dance really gershmak. People thought I danced really gershmak, you know. I dress nicely. People notice how nice I dress. You went to the chasna to Samech, your friend. Yeah, of course, that's sort of the truth, but I need to be noticed. I need to stick out. Why? Because I need to feel special. Because you know what? You are special. But I'm not convinced that I'm special. And I need to know that I'm special, because I am. The Rosh made me that way. He made me that I'm unique. But I'm not convinced. So I'm going to make sure that I'm noticed. Or if I don't make sure I'm noticed, I'm going to think about, I wish I was noticed. Why did everyone notice him more than me? Why do I think he's so good? And what about me? I'm not so bad. Like, why do he always get picked and not me? You know, like, why am I thinking about these thoughts? Because deep down, I'm quite inside, I'm so insecure, and I'm so not sure if I am special. And I need you to tell me that I'm special. And I need you to tell me that I'm special. So the Miri writes that a person who runs after kavod, because this is what the word kavod means value. Mm-hmm. A person who runs after kavod is worse than the biggest of Avodah Zarah, because he's bowing down to the whole world. In a moment of honesty, a young man said to me, he says, you know, I care about what a 5-year-old kid thinks about me. That's sad. I mean, I want to be nice to him also. I don't want to make him feel bad. But like, you know, Rabbi Reinhold, you're really cool. Okay. Hey, Rabbi Reinhold, you're really not cool. Okay. Like, you know, like, what, I'm defining myself. Oh, I feel so bad. The kid thinks I'm not so cool. Like, really? Like, whatever the word they use now, I don't know. Whatever. I'm defining myself by what a 5-year-old thinks about me. He was honest. That he was so not clear about his value, that the 5-year-old gets to decide his fate. Are you valuable? If the 5-year-old says you're valuable, if not, not. The 5-year-olds are very fickle. Don't rely on 5-year-olds. Those of you who have 5-year-olds are laughing, you know, like, Mommy, you're the most wonderful person in the world. Mommy, I hate you. About 10 minutes between the two. Like, how do you get your value from your 5-year-old? So what about the 15-year-old? What about the 25-year-old? That's how you get your value? The Rosham made you, he didn't make a mistake. And you're perfect. You're exactly what the Rosham wanted to make you. Now that means you have to take your strengths, you have to work with your weaknesses, you have to develop it, and you have to be honest with that, there are tremendous strengths inside of you. The Menachem Chumah, beginning Parshas Re'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu comes. So the biggest problem is Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Klai, so he says, Re'eh, Anoichi Nesin Avdechem Ayom Brochu Klolos. So what do you mean Re'eh? What is Moshe showing that? So the Medrash has multiple pshatim, but the first pshat the Medrash says is Re'eh Anoichi, see me, look at me. Look at me. Look what happened when I was Berchei B'Tayv. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, look at me. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is Anami Kaladu. That doesn't sound very anivistic. Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, I want you to understand that I am the showcase for the one who got it right. And if I would say that, you wouldn't think that that's very becoming for a rabbi to say that. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and says, Re'eh Anoichi, look at me. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't taking credit. He was recognizing what he was. He wasn't saying that, therefore I deserve praise. I deserve accolades. I deserve that you bow down to me. Moshe Rabbeinu was recognizing what he accomplished. That's not gaiva. That's awareness. That's honesty. If I say, therefore you need to praise me, therefore you need to think I'm special, that's a gaiva issue. Moshe Rabbeinu could have recognized all the siyata d'shmaya that he had in his life to get there. So I don't take credit for it. The Bereshit allowed me to do this. The Bereshit helped me to do this. But I accomplished. There's a story. I'm scared to say the story to some extent. It's a Rambam. Now here's Mishnah says a story. I want you to think about this story for a second. Please, just think about the story. Rambam says a story about, they asked a chassid, at the time of the Rambam. The Rambam's calling this person a chassid. What was the happiest day of your life? So I ask you, stop and think. The happiest day of your life. Right, so, I don't know, so I'm going to say, I won an award for something, my bar mitzvah. Some point where I was given recognition. I felt good about myself. I felt so good. The day which I had a lot of pleasure, we went on vacation, and I really had such a good time. Those are the things. There was no negative emotion, just positive emotions. So they asked this question, what was the happiest day of his life? So he answered the following story. He says he was once traveling on a ship, and he was a poor man, so he was traveling down, he was staying down on the hold. And on this ship, there were some rich men, rich businessmen, who were staying in the better accommodations up above. At one point in time, they looked at him with the disdain and scorn, he's this poor person, they thought they're much better than him. At one point in time, one of the individuals needed to relieve himself and came down into the hold and did his bodily functions on my body, on top of me. The level of lowliness that individual had. He said, my reaction was, it didn't bother me at all. It didn't bother me at all. So that was the happiest day of my life. That person had perfected, that chassid had perfected that my definition of my value was so clear to me that somebody could do the most despicable, disgusting act to me, totally showing total disdain for my value, and it doesn't affect me at all. I know my value. I know what I am. You can't touch me. You can't define me. You can degrade me through the greatest degradation, and it won't affect me, Akihuza. I know what I am. I know what I'm not. But you play zero role in my life. So that was the happiest day of my life. I had such a clarity of who I am, of what my value is, what my role is, what my purpose is, that I'm not going to define myself by the fact that somebody else looks at me with scorn. It's hard. This is very sweet tape that Yeshiva has called Batzoscha Sancheni. It's from a Mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael. And he has the aura a little bit differently than the way Rav Volbl says it. He says, the challenge we have nowadays is the size of yeshivas and the amount of people doing, quote unquote, the right thing. So what's my value? I'm one of hundreds of thousands, of tens of thousands. So he has a fascinating aura. If you look at the contract of the Chassam Sofer, when he moved to Pressburg, so he moved to Pressburg on the condition that they support a yeshiva, that the members of the community will not only pay his salary, they're also going to commit to supporting yeshiva. The Bachim didn't have money, there was no tuition, and those that the community would support. So the contract says that the Chassam Sofer arranged with the community of Pressburg that they're going to commit to support and pay for 8 Bachrim to sit and learn with the Chassam Sofer. That was yeshiva. Right? 8 Bachrim was a yeshiva. That was like, wow, we have a yeshiva now in town. The Rebbe told me that the Reclavin, Zichud Bracha, walked in one of the first few days after the Yeshiva Gedol had started. We had like 15 Bachrim, and not all of them were there even. Like, he walks in and he says, a yeshiva in Silver Spring. And the Rebbe was just coming from the mirror, like, you know, with a few thousand Bachrim. And Reclavin sees like two tables to put together, and about 8 Bachrim sitting around the table, and he's saying, a yeshiva in Silver Spring. Right? 8 Bachrim, that was yeshiva. So if there's only 8 Bachrim defines the yeshiva, you know, they're pretty scarce, yeshiva Bachrim. So yeshiva, I'm a yeshiva Bachrim. I'm one of the most, the elite of Klal Yisrael, I'm sitting and learning the Rosh Hashanah. I'm not the elite of Klal Yisrael, there's like 100,000 people doing the same thing as me. So how can I feel good about myself? But it's a toast. Can I not define myself by the person next to me? One last thought. The Baruch Hu created me. He created me exactly the way I am. And he wants to have a relationship with me. Because Yiddishkeit is not about rules. Yiddishkeit is not about what you have to do, what you don't have to do. You have a marriage, you know, so there are marriages, there's a lot of rules, there's a lot of do's and don'ts. You know, you make sure that you put your socks into the hamper, your smelly socks into the hamper, please. Take out the garbage. A lot of rules you have to do. So it's a compliment your wife after the meal. So what is a marriage? Marriage is a lot of rules. No, marriage is a relationship. The rules help maintain and enhance the relationship. The written rules, the unwritten rules, the unspoken rules, the understanding of what... But it's not that marriage is rules. Do's and don'ts. That's what Yiddishkeit is. The Baruch Hu created, he says that you are so worthwhile to create. Why? Because I want a relationship with you. I want to have, now I'm going to give you a list of do's and don'ts. And the purpose of do's and don'ts is to maintain the relationship, to enhance the relationship, to define the relationship, to clarify the relationship. But if all it is a list of, I really blew it this year, I got these things wrong, these things right, etc., that's all it is, we missed the boat. Persia says, I want a relationship with you. That's what makes it very warm in here and very cold out there. You are so valuable to me that I'm willing to create the world, not that you should exist, but I should have a relationship with you. You, that puny, small, minute, tiny being, are so valuable to me that I'm willing to create the whole world just to have a relationship with you. So our avoda is to reach back and create a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu.